Just a closer walk. Just a closer walk.
Yeah, on purpose. And now it'll do you no good. You might as well move up. All right. If you brought your Bibles, and if you haven't, you're going to want to start bringing it. We're going to start going through the book of Colossians. We've done the book of James together, right? And we've also done the book of Ephesians. We've walked through the Lord's Prayer together. And we're going to start the book of Colossians. And I don't always email or send John information about what I'm going to be doing. But I just emailed him and said, we're going to be starting Colossians. Could you show this map later on in the sermon? And the sermons that the songs that John picked are perfect to describe what the book of Colossians is about. Because Colossians was written specifically to talk about the supremacy, the holiness, the onlyness of Christ. That only Christ is needed. That he is worthy, 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 and nothing else is needed. And that's the focus of the whole book, is exactly the songs that we sang this morning. 2 Timothy 3:15 and 17 says that all scripture is written to instruct us, to encourage us, to challenge us, to correct us, to guide us. All scripture is written for that. So we're going to just start digging right in. Paul wrote, we're going to do background, because I love to do background, you know that. So we're going to do some background about the book of Colossians. Paul wrote 13 or 14 letters. And if you have an older Bible, it will often say the epistle to the Philippians, the epistle to the Colossians. And that just means letter, old-fashioned word for letter. And each of the books that he wrote were filled with information they needed to keep building their faith. The church was brand new, 30 or 40 years old. They didn't have Bibles that they opened every Sunday. They still had letters that had been circulated from the other apostles, and that's what they would do. They would write the letter, Paul would write it, and then the churches would share that letter, and they would learn more about their faith. And I think there's a lot that you can understand about Scripture when you step back a little bit and ask some more questions, because Scripture will always stand up to questions, always. So let's take some look at some things to look at in the book of Colossians. Vernon McGee is a theologian and a philosopher. He lived from 1904 to 1988. He was an American-ordained Presbyterian minister, and he began broadcasting a show called Through the Bible on the radio, back when radio was starting. And he called it a Bible bus trip. And every week he gave a lesson to take them through the Bible in a year. And then he thought, you know, that wasn't quite long enough. So he did it to where they went through the whole Bible in about 2 years, 2.5 years. And by the time he died, Through the Bible had aired in 34 languages. And it's now been translated into over 100 languages. And he did a lot of research. And I want to share with you some of the things that he tells us about Colossians. So I'm going to step over here to the side. And let's take a look at this. The author of this epistle is Paul. And he tells you that right at the very beginning. And it's part of the prison epistles. Paul was in prison in Rome. He wrote 4 letters. That's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And then he sent them out. The year's about AD 62. And you can see that he's all the way up there in Rome at the top. Okay? And I'm going to try and go over here. And you're going to find Colossa, where they are, is right there underneath Hierapolis. And Laodicea, and Ephesus just to the left. Paul spent 2 years in Ephesus all at once. And he taught there, and he founded the church there. And Colossae was founded by Epaphras is his name. And he was a disciple, you know, he was a learner of Paul's. And then he went to Colossus, and he formed that there. Colossians really talks about Christ. Christ is the head of the body. The body itself, that, you know, he talks about that more in Philippians. But he wrote Colossians to reassert Jesus is all that is needed. Some things have been happening in the Roman Empire, as happens in any culture. And it kind of started to influence the church. Different beliefs that were kind of around the edges.
in society, and it kind of started to work its way in. And Paul wrote Colossians to say, no, come back to what you learned originally, Christ and Christ only. Colossa is at the right end, the far eastern end, and it was one of the cities that was kind of the fortress cities to keep Rome safe from the invaders coming from Asia Minor. Were there any invaders? Those cities were the fortress cities. But by the time Paul starts writing this, Rome is in charge of the known world. There's nobody pushing against Rome really anymore. And when you're not at battle stations and you're a soldier and there's nothing to do, what happens? What happens when all the men go to town and there's nothing to do? Well, what happened by this point is the Roman Empire was crumbling from the inside. Evil was rampant. And if you think you live in an evil society today, it is equal to what Paul was facing when he wrote the book of Colossians. You know, they worshipped all kinds of gods in Rome. And a lot of the worship was done with temples full of prostitutes. How they act was debauched beyond all belief. And it's into this environment that these Christians are trying to get a foothold. And so if you think, sometimes we start to think, boy, it's more evil now than it's ever been. No, it's not. You just hear about it more because you have the news. The world has been evil since the beginning. God said, I'm going to wipe it out and start over. I'll start with Noah. This is crazy. I will start again. Well, we're back to where we were. Evil is evil is evil and has been since the beginning of time. I don't really want to get into all the different religions that they had that were kind of creeping in, because that gets kind of crazy. But there were the people who believed that, remember we've talked about this before, that only spiritual things were good. And anything that was physical, that you could touch, was bad. And so if you were really holy, you just kind of existed in this, you know, holy state. You didn't really do anything physical. And there were a lot of them that believed that Jesus was nice, and then you added this and that and the other thing and kind of stirred the pot and baked your own theological cake. And Paul wants them to know that is not the case. So he's in Rome. He sends out four letters with four different people, and those people come east with those letters and distribute them to all the different churches. And that's what Colossians is one of those letters. Let's start just by reading Colossians 1. We're going to read Colossians 1, 1 through 5. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy. Paul had trouble seeing. As he got older, he had to dictate his letters. So often he had Timothy or one of the other people there doing the writing for him. One of the letters he says, see, I'm with what big letters I write this part of the letter. He had to write big. He didn't see very well. So most likely Timothy's helping him by being the scribe here. He says, we're writing to God's holy people in the city of Colossae who are faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul starts this letter the way he starts nearly all of his letters. May God our Father give you grace and peace. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which come from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. You have had this expectation ever since you first heard the truth of the good news. Grace and peace. Two things Paul always wants his body, the body of Christ, to have. Grace, the word is charis, and it means the Lord's favor. Favor freely extended from himself, given away. And it has, remember we've talked about this once before, the idea of leaning towards something. Not like I'm here and I'm flinging it out to you, but I'm giving it and I'm leaning in toward you. And peace, serene, which was the definition of one, peace, quietness, rest. Do you ever think that that's some of the basic needs we have now? Grace and peace from God. And I love how he starts his letters with this, almost with the word, could you exchange the word breathe? Anyone ever tell you that? Breathe. Let that go. Let's focus on what's important. Grace and peace. Let's get down to business. Paul sends more encouragement. We always pray for you, and we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I love hearing from people who care about me that they're praying for me and that they're thanking God for me. They're not just praying for me to, you know, get fixed. They're praying for me and they're thanking God for me. They're in your corner. They're rooting for you. They're praying for you. And Paul writes to the Colossians, and even though he's never met them in person, he says, I'm always praying for you and I'm thanking God for you. Somehow, Colossians are known for their love because he goes on to say, we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and your love for all of God's people, which comes from your confident hope of what God has reserved for you in heaven. The Colossians, as far apart as they are, and as long as information takes to travel, Paul has heard about the Colossians because of their love for other people. Living out, remember Jesus says in John 13, they're going to know you're my disciples by your love. This commandment, Jesus makes it a commandment. This commandment I give you, love each other just as I have loved you, love each other. I don't know about you, but that's a tall order. Just as God loved me, sit with that for just a second. The way God loves me, I'm supposed to practice giving that same love out to other people because that's what's going to prove to the world that I'm his disciple. And apparently the Colossians took this instruction to heart. And I pray that for our church as well. I want you to know that often, that the community that we're in will know about Centerville Church by the way we love each other, by the way we care about the people around us. Too easy to become self-focused and self-seeking and let go of that commandment to love one another. It starts out well, doesn't it? We gather here together. We're excited. We like being together. It's like that new relationship. Ooh, I really, really like them. They're perfect. 2 years later, they've kind of lost that shine, haven't they? The daily grind of living starts to creep in. The daily grind on each other. And Jesus knew, Paul knew, that was going to be a problem, so he reemphasizes that love. Let love be first. Even when that newness of being in love wears off, I'm going to choose to love rather than being in love with being in love. Because love is a choice, love is a decision. I will choose to love. That person over there that drives me crackers, Jesus loves them a lot. He loves them as much as he loves me. The 4th century theologian Jerome wrote some of the church history, and he wrote this, the story of the Apostle John. And John is one of the apostles who lived to a very old age, and he stayed in the church around in Ephesus. He was old and frail. He was unable to walk, and so his disciples would carry him to a gathering of believers every Lord's Day. And every day, he would say, every Sunday, he'd say these words to the congregation. They'd put him up front. He would sit down, and he would say, little children, love one another. This went on week after week until at last, more than a little weary of these repeated words, his disciples asked him, Master, why do you always say this? If I got up here every week and gave the same sermon, Master, why do you always say this? They said to him, why? And John said this because it is the Lord's command. And if this only is done, it is enough. We've talked about that before, right? The phrase, love God and do whatever you want. Because if you really love God, your behavior follows. Your heart, does it not? I really love Brian. My behavior will demonstrate that. When I really love God, when I really love you, the behavior follows. We have no way of verifying Jerome's story, but they were traditions that were passed down verbally because they didn't have a lot of books at that time. Verbal traditions that were passed on. And if you read the book of John or his letters, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, you will find that they are full, full, full of instructions to love one another. Love is from God. Take that love and love each other. And people who are Christians will be known by their love. And if you're not loving, then you're not really loving God. You'll get to the end of it and you'll think John's beating a dead horse. You'll be saying, Master, why do you always say this? because that's what John writes again and again. And the people in Colossae, despite the conditions that they're living on, which are just debauched and evil, they have come together as a group of believers. And Paul, hundreds to hundreds of miles away, has heard about them because of their love for one another. We're going to start and end with that today because I think it's so important. Christians are known by their love. Love means I do what's in your best interest. Sometimes it doesn't always feel like that, does it? When you were a child and your parent made a decision that was in your best interest that you didn't really like, but it was in your best interest, when they put the knives in the drawer you couldn't reach because you were four and you wanted to play with them, it didn't feel like love, but it was love, wasn't it? And if I really love you, I'm going to do what's in your best interest. I'm not going to lay down a right welcome on my tummy, let you walk on me, but I am going to go the extra mile to treat you like Jesus would treat you. We're going to stop there because today we have something very special again. Linda is going to be baptized today, and I am very excited about that. So we're going to do just those first five verses, and once again we'll walk away like John's disciples did and say, another sermon on love? Yes, another sermon on love. Let me join you in prayer. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you for the command to love one another. Sometimes that's easy to live out, Lord, and sometimes that's hard. Will you give us grace and peace this week? May we find that the love that we get from you fills us up to overflowing and then spills out to those around us, that your love comes into us and goes right onto them. Thank you, Lord, for love. Will you bless this day, this time especially? In your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. Linda and I are going to go back. Shelby, would you give me a hand as well? Just to make sure we're... Those stairs are awfully steep. If you haven't been in my office, feel free to pop in. Those are steep stairs. So.
Yeah. More like a ladder than
more
a
like
steep
a
stairs.
Way more like a ladder.
Handrails. So we're going to sing a few songs before they get ready.
You'll have to do that.
I'll have to do it?
I practiced last week.
Oh, okay.
I did fine last week.
I just didn't. So here, are you prepared to go up?
We are.
Take them. Down.
Down?
What would happen if it went up?
Up.
Can you go up?
Just keep going.
No. It only goes down.
Well,
there
we go.
There's the deal. Okay, here we go.
Well, that's cool.
Two, here, two.
Look, a light bulb.
Yeah, yeah,
you can actually see. Okay.
There we go.
We are here to baptize a disciple of Christ. Linda, have you accepted the Lord as your Savior?
I have.
Is your intention to live for Him the rest of your life?
Yes. All
right. Then with that statement of faith, we'll baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And raise your wand.
How great thou art.
picture when she comes in.
She's still best on you.
She
might be more.
Or why don't we do this one? This is Mary's favorite. Sing the quick if you want.
And Lord, we love that you set up something for us to do that's just so special.
We ask you to bless Linda and bless us as we go out throughout the rest of this week and bring us back safely together next week. We love you. In your son's name, amen.
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 You came back to me and I want to do that. We used it.
You used it.
You used it.
You used it.